Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to worship with you together. Well, this semester, as we've been seeking to just center in on the gospel, and as I said, my aim is that everyone with ears to hear will know the gospel and live the gospel as we work through this semester. We have to spend some time talking about the Holy Spirit. We can't talk about the gospel and not talk about the Holy Spirit. I'd like to do a much more thorough study than what we'll be able to do, because I realize there are sometimes we struggle to understand or appreciate or embrace the work and role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in salvation, in our sanctification. And so we don't have time this semester for that fuller study to really focus on the work of the Spirit. But the lesson this morning, I hope will be clear and simple, something that everyone can walk away with a sense of clarity about. If you would open up to Ezekiel chapter 36. This is a text we looked at for those who were here last year. We looked at last fall. We spent several lessons walking through Ezekiel and really trying to build a solid foundation of our understanding of this this expectation of what would come in the Messianic kingdom. And Ezekiel 36 was one that we actually looked at in a couple lessons. But I want to zoom in on part of this promise here. Ezekiel chapter 36, and we'll start reading in verse 24. And if you recall the context, Israel has had generations of hardened idolatry, injustice has corrupted the land, and God has taken them from the land. They've profaned His name, and they've taken them from the land, and they're in exile now. And Ezekiel is in this part of Ezekiel, he's looking ahead to days when they would return to the land, and God would fulfill His promises that are the old promises all the way back to Abraham. But listen to what he says here. Ezekiel 36, beginning in verse 24. "For I will take you from among the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. Moreover, I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you'll be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers, so you will be my people, and I will be your God." Do you see just the wonder of that promise, right? You think again about the story of Israel and how hard their hearts had become and how often they continued to turn into idolatry. By the time Ezekiel writes, if you remember back in chapters 8 through 10, or 8 through 11 rather, Ezekiel was given this tour of the temple that was dedicated to God, and yet by this time it had just been overrun with all kinds of idolatry and pagan worship, and it was disgusting the things they were doing in God's temple. And yet God looks at a day when He would totally transform the people. He says, I'll take you from this scattering and gather you together. I'll sprinkle clean water on you. There's this cleansing that will be that He anticipates. There's this total transformation from the inside out, right? I'll put a new heart within you. He talks about taking out this heart of stone and giving them this soft heart. Right, the soft heart for God. No longer hard hearts, but soft hearts. And I'll put my spirit within you. And when God's spirit is dwelling within His people, what's happening? Right, do you see that in the text? What's happening? They're walking in His ways. From the very beginning of Israel, right, God gave them the law. He rescued them by grace. He did all this stuff for them. But you look at them, and they violated the first two commands in the first month. Right, and even before that, they'd given themselves over to unthankfulness and complaining and bitterness and all this stuff. But now God envisions a day when His people will actually walk with Him in faithfulness. They'll keep His commands. They'll do His will. And then He says, "You will be my people, and I will be your God." So I want to bring that promise, and I want to bring that vision back to the forefront of our minds, because when we turn to the New Testament, we turn especially to Paul's writings. in Romans, in Galatians, a little bit in 2 Corinthians. We're going to see him drawing off of this passage especially. Lots of passages, right? Isaiah 32, 44, other passages that talk about the Holy Spirit, but especially this promise in Ezekiel 36 that God's Spirit would dwell within his people and lead them in a life of faithfulness, and you have this fellowship between God and man and faithfulness to the covenant. So if you would open up to Galatians chapter 5 now. Galatians chapter 5. As we're turning there, I want to make this point clear. We think about that imagery in Ezekiel 36. This does not mean, when we think about God's Spirit being within us to lead us in the way of faithfulness, this does not mean that God's Spirit controls our will outside of our will, right? But the Spirit of God transforms our hearts and leads our lives in the way of God as we submit and surrender our wills to the power and grace and love and will of God, right? So it's not that the Spirit of God overtakes us and overpowers us and we're just now being controlled outside of our... That's not the imagery. And in fact, when we turn to Galatians and read this, you'll see exactly... No, Paul's calling us to submit and surrender our wills to where the Spirit would lead us. And so it's important that we understand that point. But look at Galatians 5, and let's pick up in verse 13. He says, "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in a word, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another." This passage contrasts two ways of life: the way of the Spirit, the way of the flesh. This is not a contrast of physical versus spiritual. This is not a contrast of our spirit versus our bodies. The word that's translated flesh here can be translated body. And there's times that Paul and others will use that to just mean our bodies. But then when you really get into what Paul's saying in Galatians 5 and Romans 8 especially, you realize, and Romans 7, he's not just talking about our bodies. He's talking about something else, right? Spirit here is God's Spirit. This is Paul drawing on the prophets, and especially that passage we looked at in Ezekiel when God said, "I'll put my Spirit within you and you'll walk in my ways." That's exactly what Paul's drawing on here. Flesh refers to the sinful, selfish patterns, habits, and impulses we have learned and lived apart from God. Let me say that again, because that's just a really critical definition that we when we hear the word flesh so much in Paul's writings, we need to think about this. It's our sinful and selfish patterns, habits, and impulses that we have learned and lived apart from God, right? You could say, it's me being selfish. It's me doing what I want to do and get to basically the same point. The way of the flesh is rebellion against God. The way of the Spirit is God's way. Repentance, submission, surrendering our will to God's will. The way of the flesh is selfishness. The way of the Spirit is selfless giving. We use the word love.
Right.
The way of the flesh is dependence upon ourselves. I'm trusting in myself. I'm depending on myself. It's me doing it. It's me relying on who I am and what I'm accomplishing and all. The way of the Spirit is the way of dependence upon God. I trust Him. I need Him. I rely on Him. I live for Him. The way of the flesh is pride and impatience. The way of the Spirit is humility and patience. The way of the Spirit is the way of grace. Okay? Those are the two ways of life that are being contrasted here. If you are led by your own selfish impulses, if you live for your own selfish impulses, in other words, you carry out the desires of the flesh, it'll be evident by the way you live your life. Right? You can look at your life. Anyone who knows you can look at your life, and probably even people who don't really know you that well can look at your life, and they'll see these things: immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing. And underscore this, things like these. It's not a complete exhaustive list. It's the kind of stuff that belongs in these categories, right? If your life is characterized by any of these evils, you're not living for God, no matter how much you go to church or claim otherwise. Your heart and your life is ruled by your will, by selfishness, not by God's will. And notice I said, if your life is characterized by any of these evils. This is all about pattern and practice and the overall course of your life. And so think about anger. My guess is everyone in this room has had an outburst of anger, has given into anger in some way or another. But if you walk by the Spirit, you'll quickly repent and seek to reconcile in those relationships, because the Spirit leads us in repentance and reconciliation, right? So again, it's about pattern. It's about what's our practice. It's about the course of our life. It's about the Spirit leading us from these ways of living. Or you think about jealousy. You know, we can be tempted with jealousy. But if you're truly walking by the Spirit, you'll eventually overcome that jealousy, because the way of the Spirit is love. Okay? So again, it's not that these things may not ever rear their heads, or we may be tempted or give in to these things from time to time. It's the pattern, it's the practice, it's the overall course of our life. And so again, if your life is characterized by these evils or by any of these evils, the such things like these, you are not living for God, no matter how much you claim otherwise. And understand, and we need to hear this warning, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. As we've been saying and emphasizing lately, those who give their allegiance to Christ are called as heirs and agents of His kingdom. We're promised an inheritance in His eternal kingdom and called to manifest and magnify the reign of God right now. We're called for our lives to declare that Jesus is King. That's our calling. And if you're not living a life of allegiance to the King, you have no inheritance in His kingdom. It's that simple, right? That's the picture. Here's the King. Give Him your allegiance and share in all that He has. Live in rebellion against Him, and you're in rebellion against Him. And that's exactly what Paul's cueing in on here and what he's talking about here. Again, if you're living for your own selfish impulses, if you carry out the desires of the flesh, that's evident in your life, right? But if you're living to God and living for God and living faithful to Christ, if you walk by the Spirit, that will be evident in your life. You can look at your life. Anyone who knows you can look at your life. And most likely people who barely know you can look at your life. And they'll see love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Right? If your life is characterized by these things, you're walking with God. You're walking by His Spirit. It's His Spirit that's leading you and guiding you and infusing you with grace and revealing His will and His light and His love and all these things. This doesn't mean you're perfect in love or perfect in joy or that there aren't moments of impatience. But when you look at the patterns and habits and impulses in your life, you see a fruit of a life that's led by the Spirit of God rather than the selfish and sinful patterns and habits and impulses that we've lived and learned apart from God. We've talked about this at home over the last few weeks. Excuse me. And there was one day that it's like, you know, I'm sure parents with young kids can attest to this, that I think there are days where the kids wake up and they conspire against you. They say, all right, we're going to spend all day screaming, and you make sure you just tune out what mom says no matter what, right? And that's just, and so Chelsea just had one of those days, and we were talking, and she said, it's hard to walk by the Spirit, you know? There were so many times that I was just impatient, and I lost my temper and all those things. I said, did you reconcile for that and ask the kids for forgiveness? And she said, yeah. It's like, that's walking by the Spirit. Because you see, it's not that we're just perfect and we've got it all put together, but it's that we're humbly trusting and depending on God and His grace, and He's leading us from these sinful, selfish patterns and habits and impulses that we've learned apart from Him. He's leading us in this new way. And that means when we do wrong, we reconcile and we repent and we turn from it. And He grows us and transforms us through that. And so appreciate that. The point is not perfection, but it's practice and it's process, right? And so when you look at your life, what do you see? Love? Look at your life. Do you see love? Do you see joy? Do you see peace? Do you see patience? Again, the character of your life, the course of your life, the patterns, the practice. Do you see patience? Do you see kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? If so, you are walking with God. You have an inheritance in His kingdom. Your life declares Jesus is King. If you're not, you're not walking with God. You're living for the flesh, and you have no inheritance in His kingdom because you're in active rebellion against His King. There's no one can serve two masters. Remember that? You're either ruling or you're submitting to His rule. Right? And when we let our own sinful and selfish patterns and habits and impulses drive, it's not God. And it's not God's Spirit. And so the exhortation this morning is short and simple. The PowerPoint doesn't work, so you don't get to see my fancy slide. It said this. Imagine it. Walk by the Spirit. That's it. Husbands, walk by the Spirit. No matter how your wife treats you, walk by the Spirit. Live the way you know you're to live. Live the way you're called to live. Wives, walk by the Spirit. No matter how your husband treats you, walk by the Spirit and live the right way. Parents, walk by the Spirit. No matter how your children are acting, no matter what they're doing, how they're responding to your training, whether they're young or old or whatever, walk by the Spirit. Live the way you should live. And think about that for parents, right? If we're trying to teach them the way of God and want them to grow up and learn love and joy and peace and learn to walk by the Spirit, if we're not leading them in that, they're not going to get it from us. By God's grace, they may get it somewhere else, but they're not getting it from us, right? And so we've got to be the ones that lead the way in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. And they may resist it. They may reject it. They may choose selfishness and sinfulness and destroy their lives in all these works of the flesh. But let it begin with us walking by the Spirit. Employees, walk by the Spirit. No matter how your coworkers or bosses treat you, no matter the demands and the pressures and the deadlines and all those things, walk by the Spirit. There's no excuse because this deadline is not more important than walking by the Spirit. This pressure is not more important than walking by the Spirit, but the Spirit is. The way of God is. Managers, supervisors, owners, walk by the Spirit. No matter how your employees treat you, no matter how the higher-ups treat you, walk by the Spirit and live like you should. Neighbors, Walk by the Spirit. No matter how your neighbor treats you or how they treat or disrespect your property line or your community or whatever, or how people in your community act, no matter how people are around you are acting, walk by the Spirit and live like you should. And brothers and sisters in Christ, walk by the Spirit. No matter how we may fail one another and disappoint one another and let one another down and not be there maybe for each other when we should, or maybe you have expectations about things should be going like this or people ought to act better than this, it's still up to you to walk by the Spirit and live like you should. And if you walk by the Spirit, your life will display the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And so when you look at your marriage, do you see the fruit of a life led by the Spirit? When you look at your side of the marriage, do you see a life that is led by the fruit of the Spirit, or the fruit of a life that is led by the Spirit? When you look at your parenting, and when you look at your home, do you see the fruit of a life that is led by the Spirit? When you look at your life at work, do you see the fruit of a life that's led by the Spirit? When you look at the way you act in the world, do you see the fruit of a life that's led by the Spirit? When you look at your life as a part of this church, this local family, your life, do you see the fruit of a life that's led by the Spirit? There's really no way to dodge this. You can't fake this. You can't make excuses. You either carry out the desires of the flesh or you walk by the Spirit of God. You either live for yourself or you live for God. You're either allegiant to Christ or you're not. Your life displays the fruit of the Spirit or it doesn't. We can put up some pretenses and smile and shake hands and act kind enough, nice enough to one another. But the reality is, you look at your life, you know what you see. You see these kinds of things that are the works of living for ourselves, or you see this beautiful, glorious fruit that can only come from God Himself. And if you walk by the Spirit of God, you will enjoy all the blessings of His Spirit. No one looks at verses 19 through 21 and says, "That's what I want my life to be." Immorality, impurity, sensuality, envies, factions, dissensions, outbursts of... Nobody wants that. Now, we may not know any other way. We may be so deeply entrenched in our patterns and habits and impulses that we just can't see any other way, and we can't see the light and life and grace and love of God and know there is this grace in life. But nobody wants that. No one revels in that. But when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, that's what we want. We want our lives to be dominated and ruled by love. Don't you want love in your home? And joy? Peace? We crave real peace. But that comes not by just our circumstances getting fixed and getting the right job and getting the right house and making sure this person acts this way and this person... No, but by me surrendering my life and heart to the Spirit of God and allowing His grace and His love and His life and His gospel to lead me. And as I do that, as I have an outburst of anger and I reconcile and I repent of that, and as I give in to jealousy and I do this and I do that, and I'm constantly availing myself to the Spirit of God, over the course of time, He's transforming me and shaping my heart and changing my life. And you step back and you look and you see there's love, there's joy, there's peace, there's patience, there's kindness. And that's nothing short of the glorious grace of God. So I urge you, read the screen. Walk by the Spirit. Let's reread Galatians 5, 13 through 26. "For you are called to freedom, brethren. Only do not use your freedom, turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you please. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We've crucified the flesh. If we live by the Spirit, do we live by the Spirit? We live by the Spirit. So let's walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Let's pray. Father, thank you for fulfilling your word and your promise. You've sent your Son and given him to die for our sins. And you've given us your Spirit and sent your Spirit to cleanse our hearts and transform our hearts and lead us in your way, in faithfulness and in fellowship with you. May we all put away sinfulness and selfishness, truly crucify the flesh with its passions and its desires. Never live for the flesh, never walk by the flesh, but may we walk by your Spirit, be led by your Spirit. Continue to surrender our wills to your good will of grace and love, to live out our calling as agents of your kingdom. May our lives truly declare that Jesus is King, ruling at your right hand. And we all long for the fullness of that kingdom in the ages to come, to see you face to face and reign with you forever and ever. Help us all. We need your grace. We need your patience continually. We're so grateful for your mercy and your forgiveness and your love that is so constant that we can anchor and build on as the foundation for our life. Help us all to grow in that and rest in that. May we know the fruit of your Spirit and all those blessings that you have for us. Help us as a family to encourage one another and help one another and support one another with all our various struggles, the physical struggles that so many have and the sicknesses and the pains that overwhelm us, but also the emotional struggles and the battles that we face, and the spiritual struggles, the weaknesses that we have and the temptations that we succumb to. May we truly support one another and bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of your Son. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for all your blessing and love. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you're with us this morning and need our prayers or help in any way, we want to help you in that. And if you haven't given your allegiance to Christ and are ready to serve Him and be cleansed by His Spirit and begin that life, that new life by His Spirit, we want to help you with that. If there's anything we can do, please come forward as we stand and sing.